use this book now.
Okay.
First this, and then maybe we'll do a little hog. They like the hog. Last week, I mean, they started explaining all about the hog for Israel. Now we'll do different thing.
Is my copy.
Yeah,
it's my copy.
I want to make you one.
What?
One for Ronnie.
What was it?
You can't show favoritism, Rabbi. Isn't that right?
Yeah, for Ronnie's house. Ronnie's home.
What is this for?
I'll give you one next week.
There's no next week.
Oh, there's less.
I'm rocking the bell bar.
No. It so happened, I had a book in my hand, I opened it, Kemal Achot, Tevilat, Kelim. I started looking at it, and I'll talk about it. Here's Shulchan Aruch. You know, Shulchan Aruch is divided into four volumes. Or HaHayim, Yored Ha'am, Eben HaEzer, Hoshen, Mishpat. Really, who brought these names is not Maran, not the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah. Torah was about 200 years before the Shulchan Aruch. Maran wrote the Shulchan Aruch, but the Torah was written by a rabbi called Rabbeinu Yaakov, the son of Rabbeinu Asher. Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Harosh, they call him, son of Harosh. Harosh was about 700 years ago. He's a little bit after his father, until he was born, his father died, and 600 something. Maran is only 400 something. Now this is the difference of 200 years between the one who wrote the Tur to this. Now, when he wrote the Tur, he wrote Tur Or HaHayim, Tur Yoredea, Tur Eben HaEzer, Tur Hashem Shpat, giving laws. And when he gave the laws, this the Tur, he quoted all the book of laws before him. Who were before him? Arif, Arambam, Arosh, Arif, that's Rabbi Yitzhak, Fasi. That was from the city of Fas. Then, Arambam, you all know already, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. Arif was in North Africa. Arambam was in Spain. But as a child, 13 years of age, he left Spain because his father was one of those that were chased out of the country. And the father took his son with him, and they went to North Africa. From North Africa, Rambam ended in Egypt. He was the king to the king's doctor, the doctor to the king, for no money. But the king provided him with his needs. But he was bothered by the people. He became the doctor of the king. All they used to run to him to cure them. And he was busy from morning till evening curing those Arabs, bothering with them. He had no time for himself. Imagine, how did he learn Torah? How did he write Torah? And the people, members of the community, the committee wanted to meet with him. They couldn't meet with him only on Shabbat. The meetings to consult with the rabbi was on Shabbat. This is the only day he did not walk, as after the new is a Jew, observant, they didn't bother him. This is Rambam. Then Arif was in North Africa all his life. Rambam was part of Islam. Although there was a big difference of time between Arif and Rambam. Arif was first. Rambam came much later. Again, there was close to, not exactly, close to 200 years different between them. After Rambam, 100 years later, came Harosh. Arif wrote laws. But how did he write the laws? He didn't write the laws the way Rambam writes of Shulchan Aruch. He brought all the parts of Gemara in Aramaic from the Gemara. He explained them in Aramaic just for the part of the laws that there is in the Gemara. He didn't go through all the discussion of the Gemara, but he brought the conclusion only in his book. They call it Sefer HaHalachot Shel Arif. That's what it's called. Then Rambam, Rambam wrote pure Hebrew. This is the only book that he wrote it in pure Hebrew. The Rambam, most of the books were written in Arabic. Even Perusha Mishnayot, explanation of the Mishnah, he wrote in Arabic. Every other book that he wrote was in Arabic, except the Book of the Laws, he wrote it in pure Hebrew. It's the most beautiful Hebrew, and they talk about every little letter. If he added one or one less, there is a reason for it. There is a purpose with every letter that he wrote. Harambam became one of the biggest source of laws that we have in the history of the Jewish people. After Harambam came Rosh Rabbeinu Asher, who lived in France. And when he lived in France, the Jewish people suffered from the French people. He lived there, and he taught Torah over there. And again, he did the same idea as Harif. He wrote on the Gemara, and he was quoting Harif, quoting Harambam. Sometimes he agreed with them, sometimes he objected. And this became three great rabbis that wrote books of laws, and they were the biggest source of Jewish laws, there are these three books. In the time of Arosh, lived another rabbi, Spanish Jew, called the Rashba, Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet. Rashba was a very, very great rabbi, and he was older than Arosh. But Rashba lived in Spain, and Arosh lived in France. Arosh was thrown away from France, because the government wanted to take him and to hold him for a ransom. Because his rabbi was held as a ransom, Rabbi Mordechai, Rabbi Meir Merotenburg. Rabbi Meir Merotenburg was a very great rabbi, the rabbi for us. And Jewish people wanted to redeem him. And the government asked big money for him. And he, the rabbi, Rottenborn, he sent him an order not to redeem him. He said, because he doesn't want the goyim to be trained that they will kidnap someone and then ask for ransom. He said, I don't want you to redeem him. That was his order. He stayed in prison till he died in prison. He was learning to run prison all the time. This was Rabbi Rottenborn.
They let him learn Torah in prison?
They let him learn Torah in prison? But they didn't know that much. But Harosh was being chased by the French. They wanted to hold him. He ran away. His son was killed. Very great rabbi, the brother of the two, Rabbeinu Yehuda, was killed by the French people. Harosh ran away. He went to Spain. You know, Spain and France closed, and he went to Spain.
What year is this, Rabbi?
Huh?
What year is that? When that happened, what year?
About? I said about 600 years ago.
600.
And more than 600, a little more, close to 7. And Arosh went to Spain, didn't know where to go. He went to that city, Barcelona, where Arashba lived.
This is before the Inquisition?
Yes.
Before?
Inquisition is what, like 1600?
Inquisition in Spain, 14, was later.
1490.
500 years ago.
Yeah, right.
500 years ago, almost. A little bit more than five, but when the Jews were expelled from Spain, close to 500 years ago. Now, Arashba lived there. And Arosh decided to go to the city where Arashba, that became well known all over the world, where Arashba lived, and he wanted to see Arashba. He didn't know him. He came to the city of Barcelona. He asked, where is the yeshiva of the rabbi that's called Arashba, abbreviation of Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet? Of course, he directed him, and he went. Came to the yeshiva. The day he came to the yeshiva, at the door, he stood at the threshold door. What did he see? Rabbis by the hundreds, every one other person would be the great people. And on the top, the head, sitting there, then he asked for that, Rashba. Shimon HaDeret, and he sees a big party over there. Party, tables with bread, meat they are bringing. He came near the door, he found a seat over there, he sat down. As they were eating, he realized that there is a party in the middle of the party, he didn't know what's about. In the middle of the meal, they stopped. The rabbi read a little Gemara and said, he understood what it is, Siyum. There was Siyum HaSechet. They read Gemara and they made a party. As the rabbi started talking about the Siyum, he spoke. Then he says, took a very, very beautiful portion of meat. Excellent, the best, well done, non-tempting. Picked it up. Said, whoever will tell me, any one of you will give me a nice chidush, something new in Torah, that will satisfy me, this portion will be for him. That means, yes, he's like encouraging people to say something chidush as a reward. That means to give an honor to someone. That Arosh was sitting at the door. He raised his hand. He says, eh? Yeshua knows this wasn't his student. He's talking to his students. But the resident said, yes, what do you have to say? And Rashba said, it's written in the Pasuk, lo tochelu chol nevela. You should not eat nevela, dead animals. Lager asher v'sharecha tetenena v'achala. Give it to the goy who lives with you in the city. Tetenena lager asher v'sharecha, the stranger who lives in your city, give it to him. Came, he said to him, Rabbi, you see what's written in the Pasuk? Lager. Who's Lager? Stranger. I'm a stranger. I'm not from here. I just came from France, from Paris. Then he said, Asher. What's Asher? He said, my name is Asher. But really, there's two meanings to the word Asher. There's one Asher, a man is called by the name Asher, the son of Yaakov. The same thing, this rabbi was called Asher. But there is Asher, which means that. What's Asher? Asher Tzeviticha. What's Asher?
That
I have commanded you. Then, what's the difference between Asher? How do you know if Asher is the man or Asher that? From the dots. If under the shin there is two dots, Tzere, that's the name of a person. There is three, it's a God, that's that. Then Ibn Azza said something very good. Asher b'shna, Asher b'shtayim, Adam b'shtayinayim. Asher b'shlosha, lo ish velo isha. It's a beauty, Rabbi Ibn Azza said. Asher b'shtayim, if you have Asher with two dots under the shin, that's Adam b'shtayinayim, a man who has two eyes. Then Asher b'shlosha, there's three dots under the sheen, lo ish ve lo isha. This is how he used to teach the students, Rabbi Ben Azza, to tell them that come on you. He said, lager, I'm a girl. Asher, I'm Asher. Because he used here is Asher with two dots, but this Asher with three, but this is Asher. Then b'sha'arecha, I'm sitting at the gate. Titenena v'achala. Give it to him to eat it. Rashba loved it. He realized it's a witty thing. Said, come here. Where are you from? I'm from France, Paris. He said, are you the one well-known? Rabbeinu Asher, they call him. I said, that you wrote the book. I'm the one, I'm simple. And I sit down, they started talking to him. Rashba liked him very much. Rashba was much older than him. And these are, the Tur quotes many times Rashba. He quotes Arif, quotes Rambam, Yikvot HaRosh, his father, and Yikvot HaRashba. Most of the times, these four. But sometimes Yikvot the Geonim, that they were during, before Harif even. Geonim, that like of Saadia Gaon, Rabbi Gaon, Rav Shira Gaon, call them Geonim. He quotes them also, but much less than this. These four was a dunk. And most of the time, he gave the conclusion of the law like his father. Most of the time, he agreed with his father. After all, his father was his teacher, and he didn't follow his father. This was the rabbis that were before. Then this Rabbi Nachmanim wrote the Torah. Came Maran, after he saw the Torah written, he had to do something. He wrote, like we have Humash, what do you have Humash? There is Rashi. Gemara has Rashi and Tosafot. He wrote exactly similar to this. He took book of Torah, he wrote a book of his own, Bet Yosef on it, like commentary. But Shema Israel, what a commentary. First of all, he took every little law that the Torah wrote. He showed the origin of the law. Where it is in the Gemara. What the Gemara discussed about it. How to explain the Gemara. He brought all the explanations of different rabbis, how they explain the Gemara. Don't bother too much. Later on. How they explain the Gemara.
It's a whole research work.
And after all this, discussing the one, he gave sometimes a proof of his own. And then he said what the Torah understood the Gemara. And sometimes they have different opinions. So I don't think that the Torah is right. Sometimes the Torah quotes his father. He said, no, he misunderstood his father. Such great words.
How would he know what his father understood?
He proved it from the books.
From his learning.
Yeah. He proved it from the books of his father, of Arash. So you can't say that your father said it because your father wrote something else, something like this. It doesn't go with. That means he knew everything that's written in the books of Arash, Rambam, Darif, and the Gemara. Like you have few coins in your pocket, you count them and you know how many coins you have. They call it in the Gemara, Keman de Manhabik Este, like you have money in your pocket. This is how Maran knew all these books. Unbelievable. That's why, since his book came to the world, he called it Bet Yosef. What Bet Yosef? His name was Yosef. Maran, his name was Yosef, Yosef Karo. And he wrote it, Bet Yosef, this is the house of Yosef. And that's my house, that's mine. And he wrote it. And discussing. And then he gave the conclusion of the law, according to his opinion. And he based his opinion on what? He gave a rule. He said, since there are different opinions, what shall we do? We have a rule that we must follow, Rov De'ot. But he picked up the most important books that we have in laws. Who are they? I said before, Arif, Rambam, Arash. He said, there is these three. There are three pillars of the Jewish law. I'll take the majority of these three. Wherever there is disagreement with them, I see two agree and one has different opinions, I follow the two. If Harif and Rambam said the same thing, Arosh against them, I follow Harif and Rambam. Harif and Arosh say the same thing against Rambam, I follow Harif and Arosh. Rambam and Arosh say the same thing against Harif, I follow Rambam and Arosh. That is the law of the Torah. Harei Rabbim, that's it. He came into this conclusion. That's what he did. And most of the times, it went according to Rambam. Because the majority was with Rambam, most of the time. And that's it. He copied almost the language from Rambam, Shehanaru. After he wrote the Bet Yosef, and he wrote the conclusion, he wrote the book of Shehanaru, just the law, without discussion. But after the Shehanaru was written, so many commentaries on Shehanaru. Thousands of books were written on the Shehanaru to explain it. To show you how deep he was, Maran, in writing this book. This is what we have. Now, among the things, as I said before, to vote Ola Hayim. Ola Hayim, what does it mean? Way of life. That means in Ola Hayim, that volume, he speaks about daily life. What a Jew goes through from the minute he wakes up till the minute he goes to sleep.
That's the book in English, that's the code of the Jewish law?
That's right.
That's the one, right?
Jewish law. Ola Hayim, those of every day. Which means, for example, the minute you wake up, what is it? The same word, ani. That is the same word, ani. After word, ani, netilat edayim. They tell you all the laws of netilat edayim. You finish netilat edayim, going to the bathroom. How a person should conduct himself even in the bathroom, they tell him. And to be tzanua, not to uncover himself too much. And so there is limitations in everything. This is in the book of Ola Hayim. What he does after that? The bottom bracha shel yatzar, he talks about bracha. He finishes that after asher yatzar. What does he supposed to do? Chot ha-shachar. Dressing himself. How does he dress himself? How? What's the difference? You put the shoes, put right shoes on first, then the left. You have shoelace, tie the shoelace of the left first, and then on. You put a coat, put the right arm first, and then the left. In America, everything left first before the right. Even walking, left, right, and marching, they say. In Hebrew, they say the opposite, right, left, right, left. And we always follow the right first. This is unbelievable.
So what are you talking about?
I remember.
So what are you talking about?
I remember my father, Alav Shalom. We went to mikveh. Came one Ashkenazi Hasid, knew my father was a very great Tzaddik Hasid. He said, Rabbi, I'm surprised at you. I said, what? You have a coat, I see you have the overcoat on it. And you have it the left on the right. You know, the buttons on the right. All clothes, here is shirt, look at the shirt. Same thing, coats, all of them. Left on the right.
Yeah.
Isn't so? The buttons on the right,
yeah.
And the buttons off.
Woman
opposite. He tells my father, Rabbi, men like you from men like you, Rabbi, your great people look up to you, and you have left on the right, and the Jewish religion right on the left. I said, okay, you're right. My father, Alav Shalom, was very particular about everything. He said, since this man said something right, I'll do it. He went to a tailor, told him to close all the buttonholes, make the buttons over there, and make holes in the place of the button, and he did it. After he did it, he went to a mikveh again. Another man sees him. He said, oh my, I'm surprised at you. He said, what? Don't you know that this tie, for men, they put the left on the right. For women, they put the right on the left. My father didn't know that. I remember it very well. When Becky turned it, I said, never mind, that's worse to be in. Oh, but I'm showing you how particular they were. Apparently, somebody said something's right. He didn't know that women. You were all of them, here also. Men, the left on the right, the women right on the left. Why they start like this? Well, this is the effect.
You're probably fooling joke.
Could you imagine? I wouldn't even think about it. If it didn't happen to my father, I would, up to now I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even notice it. But I know about it because that's the story what happened. Imagine. A person has to be aware of what goes on. There shouldn't be like, Bosh gave us some other shot. It's very important.
Hey, wasn't the Maran a very big doctor also? Very big physician?
No, not Maran, Rambam.
Rambam was the guy?
Yeah.
Rabbi, you know that men try on their right shoe first and then their left. The women, they try on their left shoe first and then the right.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I happen to be not selling shoes. That's why I don't know.
A lot of them have a bigger left foot than the right one, so they want to try the left one first.
This I have to ask somebody who sells shoes. Uh-huh. Let me know.
The left is a bigger foot. 90% of the time. When you tie your shoes,
the thing is this. Right now that you know. Could you give me the reason for that?
The women are not as smart as the men.
He told you.
The women are not as intelligent as the men. They always want the opposite. If you tell a woman to do something, you have to tell her the opposite way, but she can do it the opposite way to get it back to when you want it. Like you told me.
Tell me why the women.
Because they're opposite than the men.
Because they're opposite of the men?
They do everything backwards.
Why the men give the right?
It's the opposite of the woman. Why is the shoe like that? Why right shoe on first and left and then tie the left and the right?
No, everything is right first. Except they say there is advantage to the left with tying.
What?
Tying because tying of the tefillin.
Ah. So
the tefillin is on the left, they say respect the one that has the left side.
Really?
That's
yeah.
That's
it. Well, sisit, when you have the sisit for Shema, you always keep it in your left hand.
No,
right?
That's because of Alev Avchem.
Oh, okay.
That's a different thing, and the heart is on the left side.
Okay.
Unless you have it on the right, I don't know.
Unless you have a heart transplant.
Somebody asked me once, how about if a person is his left is righty? Where would he put the tefillin? The tefillin will put it on the right or the left? First of all, doesn't become righty. Even the lefty, still his heart is on the left side like righty. But when they say Alev Avchem, not necessarily exactly, it means in a straight line with the heart.
Rabbi,
no what.
If the right is more powerful than the left, or the better side, then why did Hashem put the heart on the left side and not on the right side?
Very good. Very good question. Did you hear what he said?
Mm-hmm.
If the right is more powerful, why Hashem would put the heart on the left side?
I think I might have an answer.
First of all, I'll give you two answers on the spot. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, if you have a good understanding, you don't follow always the power, the strength. That means, therefore, I'll go after muscles and strength that the heart is, that comes to understanding for me. That's one thing. Secondly, I just now had in mind something very good to tell you. All of a sudden disappeared out of my mind. Now, again, the question is, if desires, a person has desires come from the heart. The brain controls a person to control his desire. Understanding comes from the brain, but desire from person is tempted to do different things of pleasure comes from the heart. I tell you, they put it on the left, say minimize it, make it less, go less after desire, more about understanding to control it. This is on the spot, but there is more reasons, and believe me, I could just put another one.
Maybe you work
now,
too hard, it's on the right hand side.
I was talking then, Moran wrote the Beret Yosef, and he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he followed the same system of two, not Rambam. The laws mostly of Rambam, but the system of volumes of books, he followed. Rambam wrote 14 volumes of books, but the two wrote four. And Rambam wrote about every law, no matter law belongs now or belongs at the time of the Mashiach. He wrote everything. Two did not write only what's now. He didn't write about things, what will be doing the Mashiach. He said, well, the Mashiach comes, we'll ask him. He didn't put it. But Rambam, there isn't a law, he didn't write. Of the past, of present, future, everything. This was Rambam. Now, Maran Shulchan Aruch followed the two. In this respect, they followed the two. To write only about laws of today, or Hayim, about every day, which means what means every day, as I said, from when he gets up, prayers, berachot, seuda, what berachot he said on the meal, how he should eat his meal, chodei cheres they call them, how you eat, and all the berachot, plenty. There is so many chapters about berachot. And which one you say, I would see, which one you say, mezonot, which one you say, anamahya, which one you say, katamazon. When do you say this? When do you say that? It's very complicated laws. In Berachot, there's many, many complicated laws. Not too many people know them. Very difficult. I used to give them always in Magen David. I used to write for them. The Halachot of the Berachot. And they used to follow it. Baruch Hashem, this is Berachot. After Berachot, they finish. Of course, the prayers, Shachrit, Mincha, Arbit. And they come what? To Halachot, Shabbat. You finish with every day. You go more, the most often after daily. What is their Shabbat? After Shabbat, what do you have? Rosh Chodesh first, because 12 times a year. That's part of Shabbat. Shabbat, Aruvin.
Yeah, that's together.
Yeah. When I said Shabbat, that includes Aruvin. Yeah. Shabbat, Aruvin. Then Rosh Chodesh. First Rosh Chodesh, Halachot Pesach, Halachot Rosh Hashanah, Halachot Kippur, Halachot Sukkot, Sukkah, after Halachot Sukkah, Halachot Lulav. So many laws about Lulav. After Lulav come the holidays of Chachamim, Megillah and Hanukkah, Purim and Hanukkah. Okay, this is all Hayim, daily. You finish, Yoredi'ah, something more of a knowledge, greater knowledge, teaches you greater knowledge. What is it? Shehita. Not everybody makes Shehita. Things that doesn't belong to everybody. Shehita. They go Shehita. Which animal is taref? Which animal is kasher? Finish with the animals, which animal is kasher taref? They tell you, but the birds. Finish a bird, tell you about fish. Which fish is kosher? Which fish is not kosher? Laws of the blood. Laws of the harem. Harem, fat that's forbidden, the part that's forbidden in the animals. All these are in your head. Down. You finish with this. Worms. Oh, be careful when you eat the food. There shouldn't be any worm. And a little worm, there's 5 avonot. Person takes the food without opening it. He doesn't know maybe there's a worm in it. Therefore, what they do, they open, they examine. You take a pig. Pigs always, most of the time, there is worms. You open it to make sure that there's no worm, and you eat it. They don't eat just like that. They in America, maybe they do that. That's right. That's right. They look at it. Then no food, they get brown a little. After it gets brown, if it's apple or that, you leave it out for a few days, you see it will get brown. And that brown, many times you find some worms. Because the bacteria that comes, becomes, right away, create, forms, worm in it.
Also eggs too.
All right.
Didn't we say that one time it doesn't come from the outside?
Yeah.
We said, yeah. We said that one, right?
Sometimes it does. If you see a hole.
If you see
maybe
a hole.
If you see a hole, maybe it came out and in. Once came out, finish.
So if you don't see any hole, you're supposed to open it?
That's a good question, but you can tell. And why I say the figs? Figs has like a
figs and dates. Yeah. Also, but regular. I'm talking orange and
I said,
an apple. Knows you have
those
to.
That isn't. You don't have to, but you know the minute you will open it, then might already go out. There are certain things you eat them the way they are complete.
Yeah.
You don't have to. That's
the
a good.
The worms grow from inside.
Huh?
The worms grow from inside.
Sometimes. Any rotten food, the worm has been created from inside, from the rat. Sure. Well, there's something new. Okay. Now this is the tolaim. Then comes dam.
Rabbi,
blood.
You said there are 5 lavim, right? Is that because it's sheretz haaretz?
Not everything. Not everything. Sheretz haaretz. Yeah.
Right. And it depends whether water
depends,
or land.
Yeah.
And water is what, 4? And then the air is 6?
There is 1 is 4, 1 5, 1 6. We are not going to go into detail.
I just
want
to refresh my memory.
Now then, after this, the laws of dam, came the dam of koshering the meat. You sold it. Why? Because of the dam. Because if you don't kosher it, you cook. When you cook the meat, the dam comes out and then goes in. Once it comes out, if it didn't come out, you take the meat raw, you eat it the way it is, doesn't matter, you can eat it. Just wash it on the surface, shouldn't be anything. There's blood, doesn't matter. As long as the blood didn't come out yet, it's okay. But when you cook, it will come out, and then in. Yeah, therefore you have to take the blood out first before you cook the meat. How do you take it out? By salt. Salting, meliha. Not everything you can make meliha. Liver, you can make meliha. Liver, all of it is blood. You can't eat liver with meliha, salt it, and then cook it. If you cook it, it's taref. You have only to do it with?
Grill.
Barbecue. No salt. Salt is no good. Whatever blood comes out, comes out. But if after they grilled it, you want to cook it, good luck to you.
What if while it's on the grill, can you put salt?
Huh?
If it's while it's on the grill,
yeah.
Could you put salt?
What? Yeah, it's okay. What do you mean on the grill? But on a tray?
So the blood can drip down.
Barbecue.
Not a tray, with holes in it, so the blood goes.
It's okay. If no,
that's okay.
If there is holes that the blood goes down, it's okay.
No, after the meat is salted, after you do it the right way, you buy it salted, are you allowed to cook it on a flat tray?
After you grill it?
After it, no. Not liver, regular meat.
Yeah.
After you cook it, after you salt it, you buy it salted already, right? You allowed to cook it on a flat tray, or you still have to cook it on the one with the...
No, you can cook it in a pot.
It doesn't matter?
Sure, after you salt it, finish. You cook it. Every meat that we cook, what do? We salt it first and we cook it.
You can cook a regular steak on a flat tray after it's salted.
Yeah.
I always thought that you have to put it on the one with the grooves and let the blood drip.
No. When you salt something, there is no need, you do anything you want. If you don't salt and you want to grill it, you could, but it has to be in open things that the blood that drips will go out.
For lamb chops, lamb chop or something like that.
Lamb chops, we kosher it first.
Yeah.
And then we.
If not, you gotta put it on the grill.
Yeah, we boil it. We boil it after we kosher it. No, no problems. Now, this is, then said, how about meat and dairy? Can I use the same pot for meat, for dairy? Can I cook meat and dairy? Or if I don't cook, for myself, can I cook, sell it to the goy? Can I sell meat and something was cooked by a goy? I buy it from him, I sell it to another goy. Can I sell meat and dairy? Also not. All this basar halal. Then there's ta'arubot. What's ta'arubot? People, oh, rabbi, I made a mistake. I don't realize. I was cooking meat, I took the dairy spoon, I stirred it. Shema Yisrael. You did? Yeah, Rabbi, I'm sorry. I'm a big abon. I will throw the food. What will I do with the pot? Wait a minute. You throw the food or throw the food? Why not? If you have to throw it or not. If you throw it and you don't have to, that's abon. But tashheed. What do you mean? Wait a minute. Then we saw the Rabbi said, well, sometimes it's okay. Even though you did. No. Some people are very panicky about it. The rabbi said, okay, Shema Yisrael, what kind of a rabbi this is? Look, a new rabbi comes here and he gives us new laws. I remember if my parents home, he says like this, not I'm saying, my parents home, if we put a spoon of meat and a spoon of dairy in the same drawer, he tells you. And this rabbi comes and tells you, I put the spoon, dairy spoon, and the meat. Well, tell me, wait a minute, you don't have to throw it. Must be different generation now, you know. You say, oh, in the might of Amir Aretz. Then we come and tell him, wait a minute, how much food you had from the meat? How big is the spoon? What size? We see if there's shim or not. Then, sometimes, even if there is no shishim, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, you put that spoon, dairy spoon in? When did you use that spoon with the dairy? I don't remember, maybe 3 days ago. Really? Go eat the food. Rabbi, I took that dairy spoon, I put it in the meat. Then I go eat it. He looked at me, he wouldn't like to do it. Impossible. The rabbi tells him, okay, he says, no, it can't be. The rabbi is wrong. And this is why not in town of Gambit Yahvat, Mutah. And so there is no end to so many laws. A person has to know the laws. That's called the lachot ta'arovot, a mix-up of meat and dairy, kasher and taref. How would you know what to do? I had here pot being cooked. All of a sudden, small piece of meat that was there, not kosher, fell into the pot. Rabbi, the meat fell in. What shall I do? Then comes the rabbi. Sometimes he tells him, mutar. That's why we send in vidui of Kippur, they make a vidui. What he said? Tiharnu tatame, temenu tataho, asanu tamuta, itarnu tatasu, and vidui agaro. Asanu tamutar. Shema Yisrael, I said, something mutar, I told the man, asur. And he goes, he throws it, I caused him to lose money, I caused him to deprive him from eating his meal at night. He went to sleep without eating. I made a Jew suffer for what? So we say, Asanu et amutar. This is, that a person has to make bidui on it. If he said asu something, it is mutar. This is Yoredea. There is more in Yoredea. This is not all. I reached only half of Yoredea. I told you Tarobot. After Tarobot comes the Ayin Nesir. Stam Yenam. Wine of the Goyim. Can you use it or not? Kelim of Goyim, can you use it or not?
Kelim?
Containers. He used it, a pot. Can I borrow a pot from a Goyim and cook my meal?
For meat?
Yeah. Anything, for meal, milk.
I
have a neighbor, Goy. Lend me a pot, I have a party, I don't have a big pot. Give me your big pot over there. Sure, give it to me. Can I go use it? I want to cook for my guest.
You have to boil it.
You doubt it. As a
I boil it.
I call the rabbi.
Uh-huh.
I call the rabbi.
Very good. That's a good approach.
To go borrow one of their pots.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You have to kosher it first. That's all. Okay. That's what you do with kelim of the koi. Or even sometimes it tells you, I have a pot, I never used it. Sure, who knows? Oh, still in the box with the seal, with the wet papers. You can see it's new. Huh? You bought and you take it, you buy it from him, and you want to. Wait a minute. The rabbi said, wait. Rabbi, he didn't use it, the guy. No, even if he didn't use it, you can't use it. Why? You have to make tevila to it. In order to go from the possession of the goat to your possession, must be tevila. If you don't make tevila, you can't cook on it. Tevilat kelim. That's called tevilat kelim. You go tevilat kelim, there is nidda, a woman. Are you allowed? When are you allowed to be with her? When you are not? All these are halachot nidda. That's in your idea. Because this is not as belongs to everybody like Ora Hayim. This is Yoredea. You finish with the laws of Neda, Mekveh. Which Mekveh is kosher, which Mekveh is not kosher. People think that having Mekveh is kosher. You know, the minute you have a little water, something you build on the ground and you make it, you put water, is kosher. Where the water came from? How did it come there? So, the name of Mekveh is so complicated. Which up to now, the rabbis here, they insult each other. In Borough Park, there was a mikveh of somebody, private. Then they came in Borough Park, they decided to build mikveh for the public. They built. After they built, that rabbi who had a mikveh, that's mikveh is pasul, it's not good. Shema Yisrael, those rabbis who built a mikveh, no, it's kasher, and a fight. One said, your mikveh is pasul, one said, no, our mikveh is kasher. And they started letters running to the great Gaonim. Rabbi Feinstein got the letter, another one got the letter. Everybody had to give a decision. This mikveh is kosher or not kosher? And here in the country, came the people from the Turekarta of the Satma. They appointed one man. Hananya, you know, Yom Tov Lifa Teitelbaum. Related to the Hananya, Yom Tov Lifa. They appointed him to go to make mikvah. And He made most of the mikvahot of others pisurim, no good. Only everybody. Everybody comes, and they used to call him many places from different cities. God Dar, come, you make the mikveh for us, that you shouldn't talk about their mikveh. Then it became big things in America. You don't know about it. I know the rabbi all over what there is in the rabbinical field. It's unbelievable what goes on. There are stories, if you know what goes on here among the rabbis of Ashkenazim, impossible to believe. But this is it. Then we'll finish with the Mila and Mekveh, Lachot Nidui, Harem, Lachot Turma, Maaser, Matanot Aniyim, Lachot Sefer Torah, Lachot Gerim, Lachot Avadim. Oh, convert. It is true convert. Today we don't find any true convert. Maybe once in a blue moon will happen one, a real true convert. And they talk about how does it become a convert, when does it become effective, and so on. They finish with this, Gerim, Avadim, Mila. We talk about Mila, Pidyon HaBen, Becho Behemah Tehora, that goes to the Kohen, and so on.
How come Mila is all the way to the end?
Huh?
How come Mila, the Dinim of Mila over there?
Because it's not as often, that's what I'm telling you. Things that are more often first, and so on. You eat meat every day. You don't make Mila every day, Ezra.